Welcome, as always. Looking forward to learning together. This is the third shiur in our Hilchos Shabbos series. You don't have to be in the WhatsApp group to attend the shiur, but you're welcome to join. It will help provide some background and some additional information regarding the things that we learn together. Today's topic is to sit or not to sit, the great Kiddush debate. By a show of hands, don't worry, nobody's going to be impugned here, but who here has the minhag to stand for Kiddush, the entire Kiddush, all Kiddush? Okay. Most people. Who here has the minhag to sit for Kiddush?
The entire Kiddush.
The entire Kiddush. Who here has the minhag to stand for part of Kiddush and sit for part of Kiddush? Okay. And who here does something different on Friday night than they do on Shabbos day? Okay. Okay, I wasn't expecting this. Most people stand for Kiddush. So, great. So today, as you can see, there are a lot of options and there are a lot of differing practices. And so today we'll study the background and the reasoning for these practices. And we'll try to understand what we do, why we do what we do, and what one should do if one can say such a thing. And that's what we'll talk about today. Does that make sense? Okay, great. So the first thing we'll discuss the reasons to sit, then we'll discuss the reasons to stand, and then we'll close, the source sheets are on the arum, on the beam, I mean. And then we'll discuss with some practical guidance, and we'll discuss whether if somebody feels like they want to change their custom, whether that's permitted also. Can somebody change their custom if they think as a result of what they've learned that they should change it? And we'll discuss some other practical considerations. So the truth is that there are two main reasons why people who sit for Kiddush sit for Kiddush. Many of these reasons, and really Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, one of my teachers, it is Sefer Hakone Olamo, just came out not so long ago, and Siman Yud Beis collects and really aggregates all of the different ideas and positions. Very helpful organization. But there are basically two reasons why people who sit for Kiddush sit for Kiddush. The first reason is the Gemara. It's based on a Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos, so the first source on page one. Apologize that the sources aren't numbered. Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Hayu Yoshvin Kol Echad Mevarich La'atzmo. If several people were sitting together, not to eat in the framework of a joint meal, each person blesses on the food themselves. Meaning, if everybody is at this table having, or whatever it is, people are having burgers, whatever it is, everybody has to make their own blessing on the food. Sometimes we have a rule that you can make a bracha called, the rule is called Shomea Ka'ona, that you can make a bracha and you can fulfill the obligation of other people. But that does not apply unless Heisabu Echad Mevarech L'chulan. If they recline, then we can apply the rule of Shomea Ka'ona. Then we can say that one person's bracha is going to work for everyone. In other words, it's only when people sit together, it's only when people recline together that one person can recite the bracha on behalf of multiple people. And this only applies, the reclining is really a sign that they're eating together. It's only when people are eating together that you can make a bracha and be motzi other people. And the Gemara says, what makes it so that it's all considered as if they're eating together? Reclining. If they're all reclining, that shows that now that sounds alien to us, and we're going to talk about whether it still applies. But in the times of the Gemara, that's what people did when they came together to eat. They reclined together. That was a sign that they were eating as one unit. And it's only in that specific case that we allow somebody to fulfill the obligation of another one, at least when it comes to Birchas Hanenin, when it comes to brachos on foods and other benefits, that we allow someone to make a bracha and be motzi other people, and one person's bracha will work for all of them. It's for this reason that Tosfos, not so far after, a daf later, writes that one should sit for Havdalah, because Havdalah includes the blessing of Borei Pri HaGafen, and if you want to fulfill your obligation, really, if you want to fulfill your obligation for the whole Havdalah, everybody needs to be together. Everybody needs to be sitting together. Really, ideally, the Gemara says they should all be reclining. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in the third source in Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Samach Zayin Seif Yud Aleph, that if you want to be motzi other people, let's say you're getting together with your friends for a barbecue, backyard barbecue, Labor Day's coming up, You want to get together for a barbecue? Got to bring out the lawn chairs. Everybody's got to recline. And that's how you can be motzi other people with the bracha that you might want to make. However, the Shulchan Aruch does it at an important condition here, and he says that nowadays, when we normally don't recline, we did show of hands before, show of hands, when was the last person, sometimes someone here reclined during a meal? Yeah, that's fair, fine, Pesach, that's, I didn't think of that, that's a good point. So, but nowadays most people don't recline, so yeshiva didan b'shulchan echad, everybody sitting together around the table, that's enough, and that would be enough to establish the people there as one unit, and so one person can recite a bracha on behalf of multiple people in that situation. Okay, fine. If you look at Hilchos Kiddush, the Rama actually writes, Simon Reish Ayin Aleph Seif Yud, the fourth source on the page, V'yachol La'amod, you can stand for Kiddush, V'shat HaKiddush, V'yoter Tov Leishev. But it's better to sit. The Rama doesn't say why. But if you look in the Bir Hagra, if you look in the Vilna Gaon's commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, he says, he quotes our Tosos about sitting for Havdalah, and he says, V'chein Ikar, and that is the essence. In other words, just to summarize, the Gemara says that if you want to be motzi other people with your bracha, if they want to fulfill their obligation with you, everybody should be reclining. Or sitting, because that is what establishes the group as a collective so that one bracha can suffice for all of them. And therefore, it makes sense to say that one should sit for Kiddush, because sometimes at Kiddush, one person is motzi the other people at the table, and therefore everyone sits, so they're established as one unit, and one bracha suffices. The implication is that if everybody were not sitting down, then each person would have to make their own Kiddush. And so, if people want to, and what we normally do, at least when people are eating with other people, we normally only have one person make it. You have the obligatory ask. Does anybody want to make their own Kiddush? Okay, fine. Some communities do have a custom, or a Chabad custom, I believe, where everybody makes their own Kiddush, but at least all the men make their own Kiddush. But if you want to be motzi other people and have one person make Kiddush, it would seem from here, this is the Gra's explanation of why the Rama writes this, that one would have to sit in order to be motzi other people. Okay. If this is the case, though, then it wouldn't apply in all Kiddushes. When would it not apply? When would it not apply? If you're having Kiddush alone. If you're not eating a meal with other people, then there's nobody else to be motzi, so then there's no reason for you to sit. It's the only reason, if you want to say this is the reason why we sit, and it, according to the Gra, it is the reason why we sit. If you're having Kiddush by yourself, then there's no reason to sit. There's no reason to sit. The truth is that the Chazon Ish, by the way, asked a very good kasha on this Tosfos, based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chavtes says that Kiddush and Havdalah are Berchos HaMitzvah. So seemingly that if they're really considered a Berchos HaMitzvah, and this really only applies to Berchos HaNenin, to eating foods, but not blessings that are recited on mitzvos, so really, you should be able to say them while standing. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik had a whole approach to explain this, worth discussing another time.
Some people stand in the evening and sit in the day.
Well, we're going to get there. Yeah. We only heard one fourth of the shiur so far. Don't worry. So okay. So the truth is, there is another reason to sit while making Kiddush, and this applies even to somebody who's making Kiddush by themselves, which is that if you look in the Gemara, the last source on page number one, on Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph, the Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Seuda. Shmuel says that there's no valid Kiddush except in the place of one's Shabbos meal. In other words, if one does not eat a meal in the location where they recite Kiddush, one has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush. You can't just make Kiddush and then walk up, get up and walk away. You have to actually eat in the place you made Kiddush. That is what validates the Kiddush. And so therefore, if you don't do that, Ein Kiddush, we have a rule, Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Seuda. You have to eat in the place that you make Kiddush. Yeah.
This literally means a Seuda, meaning Motzi and Etzron?
It's a good question. It's a good question. It's a discussion in the postgame. We're going to talk about that maybe in a future shiur. But there's a discussion about what constitutes a Seuda. Right now, for our purposes, we only really need to know that you can only say Kiddush if you're having a Seuda, if you're having a meal, whatever that is. Okay, but it's a good question. It's a good question. But in any case, it's based on this Gemara that Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Seuda. You have to eat a meal where you say Kiddush. That the Kolbo writes something very interesting. The Kolbo is an early anonymous work of Jewish law, and he writes as follows on the top of page 2. Nachon lahavdil meumad lechavod hamelech she'anu melavi no tova derech levi meumad. It's proper to recite Havdalah standing. In order to honor the king whom we are escorting out. And just as you escort people standing up, that's the respectable way to take leave of somebody, to walk them out. So too, when Shabbos leaves, we escort it by standing. So the Kolbo says you should really say Havdalah while standing up. But he says, V'kiddush namishu kemo kein she'anu yotzin liyukrat ha-melech. Kiddush, we should also do that. Just as we escort the king out when we say Havdalah, so too, we should also escort the king in when we say Shabbos. It's not clear who the king is, what we're exactly talking about. It could be the Shabbos bride, although there's a little bit of a discussion as to what exactly that means, but it could be also the Shechina. It could be the Shechina that you're welcoming in. And many sources describe Shabbos as the great marriage between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in any case, just as when you leave Shabbos, just as when Shabbos ends, you escort it out with standing, so too when Kiddush comes, and that's really when around the time Shabbos starts, you should also do it standing. But he says we don't do that. We don't do that. Why? But because there's no such thing as kiddush except in the place you have your meal, you have to sit. We sit because kiddush has to be recited in the place of the meal. And apparently, the implication here is that people who have a meal usually sit, and so therefore, sitting is an important component of the meal. And if Kiddush can only be recited in the context of a meal, and sitting is an important component of the meal, then one is obligated to sit. One is obligated to sit. And in fact, if you look back at that Ramah, the Ramah said that you should sit. The Mishnah Berurah there provides this very rationale. The Mishnah Berurah says, "D'b'chihai gavna mikrei tfei kiddush b'makom seuda," because by sitting down, that will be more kiddush b'makom seuda, because you sit for meals. So if Kiddush is only B'makom Seuda, then you should sit for Kiddush. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, and that's what the Kolbo writes. And so that is one reason one should sit for Kiddush. And that would apply whether somebody is making Kiddush with other people, whether somebody is making Kiddush by themselves. It would apply seemingly on Friday night, and it would apply also on Shabbos day. Now, how to get around these issues, we're going to talk about when we talk about saying Kiddush while standing. But just to summarize, we have two reasons to sit. Reason number one, because maybe you need to sit in order to be motzi other people with the bracha. And reason number two, because one can only make Kiddush b'makom seuda, and sitting is a sign of makom seuda. Okay? Okay. Now let's turn to the opposite side of the coin and look at reasons to stand. The first reason we already saw alluded to in the Kolbo that we just read. The Kolbo said, really, you should stand for Kiddush to escort in Shabbos, but we don't because of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. But he said, ideally, you really should stand. And so that is reason number one. Reason number one is to welcome in the Shabbos. And then the truth is, it's not wholly the Kolbo's invention that one should go to greet the Shabbos king. We have a Gemara. The Gemara, it's not on the source sheet, maybe it's in the additional material section, but the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis says that Rabbi Chanina would say, Bo v'netze likrat kala malchita, let us go out and greet the Shabbos bride. So we see that there were various sages of our tradition who did go out to greet Shabbos. Bo ichala, as we say in Lichadodi. The Kobo, however, if you remember, should remember because it was 3 minutes ago, the Kobo said that we don't do this because of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. So the truth is that regarding this, the Beit Yosef makes, I think, a very astute point, a very straightforward point. He writes, the Beit Yosef is Rabbi Yosef Cairo's commentary on the Torah. And he says, "V'li nira de makadish me'uma nami kevan de samuch l'shulchan hu shapir mikrei b'makom seuda." The Beis Yosef says, "Okay, Mr. Kobo, you want to say that you have to be sitting for kiddush because that's what's called kiddush b'makom seuda? If you stand next to the table, why is that any less makom seuda? Yes, you're not sitting and you're sitting for your meal, but it's very clear that you're establishing the kiddush in the same place you're going to eat your meal if you're standing right next to the very table." And he says, "And I think that's enough. I think that's enough. I think that should be good enough." Kiddush B'makom Seuda, which means that then the original reason of the Kobo is now back in play. If you can neutralize the reason why the Kobo said we don't do that, then the original reason of the Kobo, which is to escort the Shabbos queen or to escort the Shabbos king or to escort the Shabbos, still applies. And so therefore what emerges from this is that according to the Beis Yosef, you have another reason to stand, or at least the first reason to stand. It's to escort Shabbos. That's what the Beis Yosef, says. Just to summarize, reason number one to stand is to welcome Shabbos because it's appropriate to welcome Shabbos while standing, just as you would stand to receive any important person. However, if this is the reason why we stand, so then there's an important distinction to be made because it only applies in certain Kiddushim. When does it not apply? On Shabbos day. On Shabbos day, well, the Shabbos has already been escorted, or not escorted, but it's been here for several hours already, 12, 15 hours. So there's really no reason, according to this, that one should stand for the daytime Kiddush. This is really only a reason to stand for the nighttime. This is really only a reason to stand for the nighttime Kiddush. And the truth is, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz in his Sefer points out in Siman Yud Beis that even according to this reason, it's not clear why you would need to stand specifically for Kiddush, as long as you stand when Shabbos starts, or as long as you stand when you accept Shabbos. So that should be enough to escort in the Shabbos. To stand, you would stand to greet an important guest when they came, but you wouldn't stand to greet an important guest 50 minutes after they came. That's a little bit strange. So the same thing really should apply here. It's not clear why one would need to stand during Kiddush. Kiddush doesn't happen at the time Shabbos starts. And so to say that you do it to welcome Shabbos is in Yiddish maybe perhaps what they say a little far fetched. But that's the first reason. Reason number two to stand is testimony. This is the more famous reason that's given for standing. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Tet Amud Beis records the statement of Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna writes, says, "Kol hamitpalel be'erev Shabbat ve'omer vayichulu ma'ale alav hakatuv ki'ilu na'asa shutaf l'hakadosh baruch hu b'ma'aseh bereishi." That anyone who says vayichulu, it's as if they are a partner with God in the creation of the world. In other words, the passage vayichulu describes Hashem finishing creation and resting, and when we recite those verses, we become partners in creation. And the Gemara learns this from the following, Shneimar vayechulu, al tikre vayechulu, ela vayechalu. And do not read it as vayechulu, it was finished, but vayechalu, as they finished. Meaning when someone recites it, it is not just Hashem. It is now you who have also become a partner in creation. How does this work? How does one become a... What is it about reciting Vayechulu? Granted, the drasha is the drasha, but how does reciting Vayechulu actually make one a partner in creation? It doesn't seem to logically connect. You say Vayechulu, and just because if you were to read a book out loud, that doesn't make you a partial author of the book. It just means you're reading the book out loud. So how can you say that makes you a partner in creation? So the Maharsha, Rabbi Shmuel Edel, one of the early Achroinim, writes as follows in his commentary here. He says, "Ki ilu na'aseh shutaf ki ha'omer vayichulu harehu meid al ma'aseh bereshit." Because when one says vayichulu, one testifies about the act of creation. "V'harehu na'aseh shutaf im HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Why? You're a partner in creation. Why? "Ki il bilti eduto lo yivada asiyuto." Because if you were not to read and proclaim this passage, People might not know that Hashem actually did this. In other words, by saying Vayichulu, by saying that Hashem created the world and rested, you're attesting to the fact that these things happened. Any occurrence is only as good as people who are willing to believe in it. It's like, let's say you broke a world record in private. And then you went around saying, I broke a world record. Well, did anybody corroborate that? That doesn't mean much unless people corroborate it. So the Maharsha, I think, is saying the same thing here, principally at least, that Hashem created the world. But it's really only when we corroborate that, that other people then start to actually say, maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's something to it. And we, therefore, are, I guess, witnesses to creation. Yeah? Yeah.
That Vayichulu is Edus, as you're explaining from the Maharsha. I've heard that for so many years. That's so familiar to me. I'm surprised to learn that this is from the Maharsha, from the, you know, late 1500s or 1600s. I thought it was, you know, if not in the Gemara, something in Chazal or in Rishonim, but it's really his explanation of that Gemara of Shutaf.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he would say, obviously, that it's what the Gemara means, so it is in the Gemara, but yeah. When we say Vayichulu, we testify that the things in it happened, and therefore we become a partner in creation, because creation doesn't mean much if people aren't willing to stand behind it and say that it happened. So how does this relate to standing for Kiddush? So, well, the Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Amud Bey is derived from a pasuk, actually, in this coming week's Parsha, Parsha Shoftim. So, in Yonad Yoma, that witnesses are obligated to stand up when they testify. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara derives it. The first two sources on page 3 talk about this. V'idim divrei hakol ba'amida, everybody agrees that witnesses have to stand for their testimony. Dichtiv va'amdu shnei ha'anashim, that the two men shall stand. It's pasuk in Shoftim. Therefore, we know that edus, testimony, can only be given while standing. And so, therefore, if you put those things together, if Vayichulu is considered testimony, and standing for Kiddush, which includes Vayichulu, and therefore is a form of testimony, well, maybe you should stand for Kiddush. Maybe that's the right thing to do. And the truth is that whereas the Rama encouraged sitting for Kiddush, the Shulchan Aruch says in the third source on page 3, Mekadish al kos malei ayin shelo yapagum. Those who have gone through our voice notes now know some of these terms mean. Should make Kiddush on a full cup, and it should not be pagum, meaning the cup should not have been previously drunk from. V'ta'un kol masha ta'un b'kos shel birkat hamazon, and all the dinim of a kos that we use for birkat hamazon, when we say birkat hamazon al hakos, they apply to Kiddush also. V'omer vayichulu me'umar, and he throws in there, you should say vayichulu standing up. V'achar kach omer b'rei pri agafen v'achar kach Kiddush. And then you should say hagafen, and afterwards Kiddush. And the Shabrua writes, v'omer vayichulu me'umar, why? Shehu edut al b'riyat shemayim v'arez v'edut b'inan me'umar. This is really from the Torah. The Torah actually is the one who connects the vayichulu of testimony and the standing part of testimony and brings them together. And so therefore, and the Bishabrua says that's the Shulchan Aruch's reason also. Shulchan Aruch says that you should really sit for Kiddush. And the reason why is because it's a form of testimony. But there are two things that are not clear here. First thing is, according to this logic, you should really only have to stand for Vayichulu. You really only have to stand for Vayichulu, because that's the testimony. After that, there's no reason to stand anymore. And in fact, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, let's look carefully at what he says. V'omer Vayichulu me'umad. You say Vayichulu while standing. V'achar kach omer b'rei pri agafen. And then you say b'rei pri agafen. He doesn't explicitly say that you then sit down, but he does separate the Vayichulu. He doesn't say omer Vayichulu me'umad, v'omer b'rei pri agafen me'umad, or omer Vayichulu u'b'rei pri agafen me'umad. He says Omer Vayichulu me'umad, and then Borei Pri Agafen me'umad, and then Kiddush Mekadesh HaShabbat. So it's not clear whether the Shulchan Aruch specifically is indicating that you should stand for Vayichulu, although he seems to maybe be indicating that it is, but that's one reason to stand. And also, it would not apply when? On Shabbos Day. Shabbos Day, we don't say Vayichulu, and so therefore there would not be a reason to stand on Shabbos Day. On Shabbos Day. Good. Okay. The third reason to stand, and this is the final reason we'll look at today, is Kabbalistic. Rav Chaim Vital writes that the Arizal would stand for Kiddush, and the truth is the Aruch HaShulchan, I briefly went into the Pri Eitz Chaim to try and find it, but I didn't have enough time to look carefully, but the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this. He says, V'chachmei HaKabbalah katvu la'asot me'umad. The Kabbalists have said that you should say Kiddush while standing. V'chein haya noi ga'arizal. And the Arizal also did this. And he would hold his cup to his chest, and he would say Kiddush while standing. And he says, what's the reasoning behind this? Well, at a wedding, the Sheva Brachos that are recited under the Chuppah are recited while standing. And if Shabbos is the wedding of the Jewish people to the Shabbos Kala, to the, whatever it is, either the Shechina or to the Shabbos Kala, whatever it is, then we should also be standing for that. How much more so if somebody is married? If two people are getting married, well, if an entire nation is getting married to God, so then it makes sense to stand. And this is similar to the second, to what we saw above about welcoming the Shabbos queen, but the Kolbo, right, wrote. But here the Kolbo meant it more that standing as a welcome demonstration. Here, it's more about imitating the practices that we have under the Chuppah. And there's more to discuss here. The Knesset HaGedolah and the Abu Draham talk at length about how Shabbos is really the marriage of the Jewish people to God. And if you look, maybe the subtle reader of the Shemona Esrei, or maybe you've heard a shiur on this, will notice that in the first Shemona Esrei, it says Vayenuchu Va. And then it says Vayenuchu Vo. And then it says in the Mincha Shemona Esrei, Vayenuchu Vam. So why does it say Vavo Vam? So some say because it represents, and I'm not going to go into all of it now, the different stages of a wedding. And the Jewish people on Shabbos are marrying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a conversation for another time. But in any case, that is one reason that the Kabbalists said that that one should stand. So what emerges is that there are three reasons to stand for Kiddush. Number one, it's a respectful way to welcome the Shabbos bride. Number two, it's a form of testimony to the creation of the world. And testimony must be delivered while standing. And number three, because of the Kabbalah, and there are other reasons given in Kabbalah for this, but one of them is to imitate the practices that are under the Chuppah. So we have two main reasons to sit, and three main reasons to stand. So now we've answered the question of why. We've answered the question of why we do what we do. We've looked at the background for these practices, but we have a number of reasons on both sides. There are reasons to stand, and there are reasons to sit. And it's interesting to note that many of these reasons are not going to cover all of your kiddushes. Some of them are only going to apply when you're with people. Some of them are only going to apply at night. There's very few. There's very little reason that one would do, and there are reasons. We'll get to that in a minute. That one would do what they do for all of Kiddush. Okay. So, what should we do? What's the proper practice? So the truth is that if you amalgamate all of these reasons together, it's machlokas aposkim. Okay, so the Eshel Avraham of Buchetz, Rabbi Avraham David Warman of Buchetz, the Buchetz Rav, was born in 1770. He was passed away in 1840. I happen to be a very big fan of the Eshel Avraham of Buchetz. Always connected to his writings, to the kinds of questions that he asked. He was a fascinating figure, very obviously very learned from the time he was very young, and he really was very much on the Litvish, the Lithuanian, the Vilna Gaon, if you will, side of the debate with the Hasidim. However, later in life, he connected with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, who was a prominent Hasidish rabbi, actually mentored him, and he became a chassid later in life, but he refused to let Kabbalah influence the way that he understood and paskened halacha. In Hasidic communities, still today, Kabbalah very much influences Psak. He, even though he became a Chassid, was very against, and that's not necessarily why I appreciate his Psak, but that is something that really stands out in his biography and in his writing. He was so pained, by the way. He was so pained, sources suggest, that about this, he describes, I believe, or at least some secondary sources we have described, that he was the conflict between the Hasidim and the Mitnagdim. It wasn't the pain of necessarily fracture between the Jewish people, although he was known for his Ahavas Yisrael, but he was pained over the philosophy of it. He couldn't decide which was more correct. And this really some sources say like really devastated him. It nearly drove him insane. That's what some sources write. The Encyclopedia Judaica actually has an interesting entry in his biography, and that's what they write that he really became so engrossed in this debate and what should he do and what should be the right thing to do. Halavai, we should have that much hesitation and concern before we choose a position to follow. But that was a little bit about who he was. In any case, he writes as follows. He says, "Venirisha in kpei debazeh." He says, "There's not really a big deal which one you choose to do, which one you choose not to do." But he says, at the end of the day, if you find sha'al yedei yeshiva yesh yishuv hadad v'kavana b'yoter. He basically says you should do whichever is going to allow you to concentrate more. So you read all these sources, you want to know what to do. He would say, choose whichever one will help you concentrate better. If you sit and you think you're going to concentrate better while sitting, then you should sit. But he says, even though the Ramah says you should sit, if you think you're going to have more kavana standing, if you're going to be able to focus more, focus better on the Kiddush while standing, then you should stand. And at the end, he does say that that's what the Ari wrote. So I guess he doesn't let the Kabbalah in a little bit. And he says that that's what everybody agrees you should do. You should really stand if you're going to focus better. And if like the Ramah says, of course, if you're going to focus better while sitting, then you should sit. Although at the end, he seems to indicate that it's really preferable to stand. He says, "V'chulei alma modim b'zeh shirai lasot b'zeh," that if you're able to stand, you should really stand. Okay, fine. Other poskim disagree. Other poskim felt much more strongly about sitting. This was the position of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein had a very simple argument. He said, "What are you talking about? The Ramah says to sit. Last time I checked, Ashkenazim paskin like the Ramah. So therefore," he says very strongly, "Minhag zela kadesh b'bayit meumad eino minhag al biha halacha." That's what he writes. It's not a halachic custom because the Ramah says to do something different. So you can't say, "Oh, I'm just following my custom by standing up." The Ramah says that's a bad custom because you're supposed to sit, and so therefore you should sit. That's what the Igros Moshe writes, and he develops this a little bit. He says that what emerges from this is that practically, practically speaking, everybody agrees that you should sit l'chadchila. Because even according to the position, v'yichulu is edus, that you would need to stand for it. If you recall the Ramah that we read at the beginning in module number one on the first page of the source sheet, the Ramah says that it's better. You can say it standing, but it's better to sit. And so therefore, v'rak elu sheyesh lahem minha kavua me'avoteim la'amod. Only those people who have an established practice from their ancestors to stand. Even though, again, he says this does not have the status of a good minhag, but he says mistaber she'ein lo lishno. Then it makes sense that you shouldn't change your custom. Because the truth is that many people, as we saw in this room, most people make kiddush while standing. If you live in a place where people exclusively make kiddush while sitting, so then he says that even if you stand, even if you have an established minhag to stand, you should sit. There's not really a place like that where everybody does one thing for Kiddush. And so therefore, it would seem, Rav Moshe would certainly say, if you don't have a minhag, so for example, if you're a Baal Tshuva, Rav Moshe would say, you should sit. And if you sit already, then Rosh would say, good job, you give yourself a pat on the back. If you have a minug from your parents that you should stand, Rosh says, I'm not so happy about it, but you have a minug from your ancestors, and so you should stand. But he says, really, the halach is that it would be preferable to sit. That's the position of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Sternbach, in his Tshuvos V'Hanhagos, contemporary authority, Baruch Hashem, still living, writes, V'noig ani la'amod b'kiddush. He says, my custom, personally, is to stand for Kiddush. But, he says, u'v'kiddush hayom, nahakti le'shev. But for Kiddush hayom, for the daytime Kiddush, my custom is to sit. She'ikura b'geder birchas hanehanin davka, v'harbe poskim. Because that is considered a birchas hanehanin, according to most poskim. Remember at the beginning we spoke to Chazon Ish's Kashya. Remember the first module we learned together, that first piece about you have to sit in order to be motzei other people. So we said that the Chazon Ish raised the question on that. Well, if it's a birchas hamitzvah, so then you should be able to stand. So that's only true for the nighttime Kiddush, which would be a Berachas HaMitzvah, according to Rav Moshe Sternbach, because you have Vayechulu, according to Kiddush, at nighttime is a Deoraita Mitzvah, according to some authorities. And so, but daytime Kiddush is really only a Berachas HaNe'anin, because you only make Hagafen, there's no Mekadesh HaShabbat, and so therefore you should sit. And then he says at the end of the day, V'yesh Nogin Gamba Zela Amod. He says some people even sit during the daytime Kiddush. Why? Begeder Shira Al Hayayin, because the daytime Kiddush has the status of a song recited over the wine, and a laudatory song recited over the wine, and that's most appropriately recited while standing. Okay, I'm not in the business of bashing Minhagim, but I will... I'm a rabbi. But I'm not in the business of bashing Minhagim, but I will say that the practice which seems to lack real support is the practice of standing for Kiddush and drinking while standing. We've seen justifications for just about every custom. We've seen justifications for standing at night and standing during the day. Rav Moshe Sternbach says it's a Shira Al Hayayin. He doesn't necessarily seem so happy with it, but that's what he writes. We've seen justifications for sitting for the nighttime and for the daytime. We've seen justifications for standing at night and sitting during the day. I don't think anybody has the custom to sit at night and stand during the day. I guess we haven't seen a justification for that, but some people do have the custom to stand and then to drink while standing. So the truth is that's a little bit more difficult because that starts to leave the realm of minhag and sort of deal with what might be a loose prohibition. There are some halachos that at least certain individuals are not supposed to drink while standing up or eat while standing up. The poskim write that even according to the shita that one should stand for Kiddush, one should still drink while sitting. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky in his Kovetz Halachos, Shmuel Kamenetsky lives not far from our very shul, and he's here sometimes, and he says, if you look in the additional material section, the second to last source on page number 6 in his Kovetz Halachos, he says, Av hanoheg shlekadish me'umad, even if you have the custom to say Kiddush standing, nachon shelo yishta hakos ad sheyeshev, it's proper to sit for the actual drinking of the Kiddush. Umihu dafka kishashotim alo lugmav. He says, but you can be lenient if you're drinking less than a cheekful. It doesn't really help you, because to be motzi, the mitzvah of Kiddush, you have to drink at least a cheekful. Maybe he's working under the assumption that everybody at the table is going to have enough that combined it'll be a cheekful. That's a discussion we're going to deal with when we talk about the amount of wine one has to drink in a few sessions. But he says that really it would be better to sit if you're going to stand. So we have justifications for standing. It's very hard to find a justification for standing also for drinking. Yeah.
Your custom to stand for Kiddush, you go to Kiddush Friday night, and
the last question we'll deal with is, after learning everything we've learned today, let's say that you want to change your minhag. Let's say that you feel that as a result of your reviewing the sources, you think one way of doing it is more correct or has more weight behind it. Should you change your custom? Are you allowed to change your custom? So, the truth is that Rav Avigdor Nevensal, who was the former chief rabbi of the Old City of Yerushalayim, in his Sefer Yerushalayim b'Moadeh Chelek Beis Amud Kuf Dalet, in this section on Shabbat, actually explicitly addresses this. He says, Legabi abida o yeshiva b'kiddush b'leil Shabbos, regarding sitting or standing for kiddush on Shabbat night, yesh b'zeh min hagim shonim. There are different customs about this. There are some who stand for the entirety of kiddush, and some stand just for vayechulu, and some sit even for vayechulu. And he says, l'chol minhag yesh yisod b'halacha. Every one of these minhagim that I've just explained has a basis in halacha. Al ken yaseh k'minhag avotav, and therefore you should follow the custom of your family. But he says, imapi de limudo, but if as a result of your learning, mesik shekadai linhog k'shikta hacholeket, that you think that the truer shita is the one that you don't do, so then yachol linhog chen. Then you can do it. You are allowed to change your minhag here, Rav Nevin Sal says, if you feel that on the basis of what you've learned tonight, or maybe on a more extensive review of the sources, that what you would do is less correct than another position, you can change it. I'm not saying that any position is less correct than another one, but if you feel that one position is less correct than the other one, then he says you should you're allowed to change your minhag. And he says, actually, Eitzel Avi Mori, haminhag ayala amod b'kiddush. My father's custom was to stand. And he says, my father-in-law's custom was to sit. And so he says, last me hineni noig la'amod ba'amir v'yichulu kimavar b'shulchan aruch, and li'eshev b'birch b'b'b'b'gaf. And he says, I myself did that. I departed from my family's custom. I grew up standing for kiddush. And my in-law's custom was to sit for Kiddush, and I do neither. I stand for, or both, but really neither. He says, I stand for Vayechulu, and I sit for you gotta love a night when posts can disclose their personal practices. It's always very interesting. And therefore, I sit for the rest of a Kiddush. And he says, Misha ein l'minhag avod yaseh k'minhag rabotav shilimduhu Torah. If you don't have a custom, for example, let's say you don't have a family custom, for whatever reason, you should, whoever teaches you Torah, you should follow their customs. That's what he recommends. And that's what he recommends doing. Rav Herschel Schechter, Judy, this kind of gets at your point. He says that if you do change your minhag, when you do go back to your family, or when they come to you, if you're with your parents, you should still do their minhag, even if you find that when they're not there, it's better for you to do a different minhag. Rav Schechter says, this is Rav Aryeh Leibowitz, actually, I think in an online article, says he asked Rav Herschel Schechter, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, and he says that if you do change your minhag, when you're making kiddush in front of your parents, you should use their minhag anyway, even if you've departed from the minhag yourself. So essentially, at the end of the day, and we'll conclude with this, the halach is as follows. Each person should follow their family minhag, and if one, after learning through the sources, wants to change, they would be permitted to. But either way, hopefully we now have a little bit of a better understanding of why we have these practices and why we do what we do, and we can use that, ideally, to arrive at new understandings and appreciation of this very ancient mitzvah.